Do you know what people say when they start planning a remodel? They say, I don't even know where to begin.
But that's where we come in. At Simple Bath & Kitchen, design is the fun part.
We walk you through styles, colors, and layouts right in our showroom so you can see your new space come to life.
And once you love the design, our team handles the rest. On time, on budget, and with zero pressure.
Beautiful designs, smooth process.
Visit simplebathandkitchen.com to start your design today.
We make it simple for you. Hey, Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure, so you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit simplebathandkitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's simplebathandkitchen.com.
Simplebathandkitchen.com.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. Our guest this week is, well, I saw her perform in the musical Beautiful, and she was absolutely brilliant in it. She is the star, that is Cassidy Jansen. Now, Cassidy, you were in the original ensemble of Wicked, weren't you?
And
I was. Got promoted to Elphaba.
Yeah.
Do you think that was the part that really sort of got you noticed?
Actually, I don't know. I think, actually, a little bit before that, I did Tick, Tick, Boom at the Many a Chocolate Factory with Neil Patrick Harris and the lovely TJ. And I think that probably got me a bit well-noticed as well. And I think Wicked was good for me as a bit of a stepping stone, but I never, because I was always standby Elphaba, I never actually had the part as my very, very own.
So did that mean you got your green paint on every night sometime? Did you get the green paint on? No.
No, so you only got sort of greened up when something was going wrong on stage and they'd be like, right, you're going on, quick, slap a load of green paint on your face. You just had to hang around.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was doing it, I think the rules were slightly different, which was I could be 5 minutes away from the theatre with my phone switched on in front of me, so I could go for dinner. I could go. Mostly, I went to the gym. Actually,
oh, did you?
Oh, yeah,
that's good for you.
I know. It was
with you looking at your phone, thinking, if they get me now while I'm on the cross trainer,
at least I'm ready to go. Yeah. You know what I mean? But so that was quite a cushy little job actually for a couple of years. Yeah,
yeah,
that's nice. And obviously, getting to play that amazing part was a thrill and an honour.
So, of course, we get to the hub of this, which is you playing Carole King on stage, which yeah. I saw, which was that you were phenomenal.
Thank you.
In that role. Were you a Carole King fan? You're a bit young to have been a real Carole King fan.
I am a bit young to have been a Carole King fan. However, I was a huge fan and used Natural Woman as my audition song for eons.
Yes. How did you interpret Natural Woman? Did you do it like her, or did you do it like Aretha Franklin, or what was your version?
Well, it was kind of an amalgamation, because originally, and apparently the original production of Beautiful, they did the actual Carole King Tapestry version, but everyone's so used to hearing the Aretha Franklin version, they kind of beefed it up a bit. So it's a kind of combination of the two. But actually, I've done another version of it on my album, which is due out on the 14th of June. I know that we're probably plugging that a bit early, but there is a new version of Natural Woman. We've lowered the key. We've made it a very soft ballad as opposed to a big ripper. So it's, we've reimagined it.
That's interesting. So yeah. Carole King came to see the show.
She did.
Well, tell me how that felt.
Oh, gosh, it was... I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience, actually. So we'd been told it was a sort of gala night thing. So we knew that we were going to stay on stage a bit longer, and everyone was sort of on their particular A game. Mm-hmm. And then normally the band strike up at a certain point in the bows, and they didn't. I remember looking down at the band going, oh, that's strange. And then suddenly there was all this gasping from stage left and this little lady walked on. And I was like, who's walking? Oh, my God! It's Carol. And then it was like your life flashing before your eyes. I suddenly went through my entire show in my head. I was like, oh, God, was I any good? Did I portray her okay? Oh, my God. I've literally just lived her life in front of her and she's watched the whole thing. And it was quite a moment. And she said wonderful. I mean, I hoped if she ever came to see me, she would have said, good job. Well done. Tap on the wrist. But she was very gushy. And there's some video footage of me and I look like my eyes are going to pop out my head because she's really giving me some incredible compliments and I just couldn't quite take them in. I'm like crying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have been sobbing if that had been me.
It was an extraordinary moment.
So you didn't know before. I guess actually almost the nerves would have been too much to bear
if you'd known before, how could she
was sitting there and then you'd be glancing sideways into the audience going, is she liking this bit? So probably better.
Way better.
That you found out afterwards.
Oh, it would have been impossible.
But how amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Have you heard from her since? Pen pals?
Well, actually, funny that you should mention that. I was doing my album then, and someone said, why didn't you write to Carol and see if she's got any unreleased tracks? So I did, and she sent me five. So I've got an unreleased Carole King song on my album, which is a bit of a pinch me, I'm dreaming thing. But so that was really, really rather lovely of her to do that.
This is Mellow Magic with an hour-long special with our guest, the West End star, Kasti Jansson. And the song you just heard was I'm Every Woman. This is from your album Leading Ladies, which you did with Beverly Knight and Amber Riley.
I did.
That's a good mix. How did that happen in the first place?
Oh, my gosh. I got a phone call from my agent saying Warner Records had been in touch and would I be the third person in a trio of musical songs, and I said yes,
of course. You knew who the other two were.
I think I was in the right place at the right time in the right show, and I am so grateful for that opportunity. I learned so much from that.
What, being in the recording studio?
Beverly in particular, she's so professional, and her production skills are, she's just a proper talent. She produces her own albums, and I learned a lot from doing that.
Had you done much sort of recording work before?
I had actually, but it was just a very joyous experience being in the room with those two girls, and it was very eerie how our voices blended, because the three of us have got very different voices, and in particular there was one moment where we were singing Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, and the producer just said, why don't you do Busker Harmony Girls? And that's basically what ended up on the album. It was the weirdest thing. We all just kind of found a line, went through it, and went, that sounded amazing. So we all kind of had that spooky feeling of this is very special, even in the studio.
And how did you decide which tracks? Did you decide, or was that a production issue? And did you fight over it? How did that work?
There were no fights. We all had similar tastes. We all had the same idea of what the album should be, which is more modern musical theatre songs as opposed to sort of the classical stuff. Because we're all more kind of pop soul vocalists, really. And we just sat down and we chewed the fat and we said, well, maybe this album, maybe this song or that song, or and if we have this song, we can't have that song because they're too similar and they serve the same purpose. But we sat there and every song we picked ourselves, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's definitely our baby, yeah.
You did the revival of Chess at the Coliseum.
I did last year.
Yeah.
With Michael Ball, Alexander Burke, Cedric Neal, who's just been on The Voice, and Tim Howard. And, yeah, we had a hoot. I mean, it's not
you
the funniest show.
I was
going
to say, how did that work?
The practical jokes going on backstage.
Kesty, were you misbehaving?
I still have the scars. I still have the scars, yeah.
Oh, come and tell us some of the things
I don't think I can share on the radio. Michael Ball's a very naughty man, as everyone knows.
No one's listening, you can just tell. No one's listening. Just you and me and...
No, I couldn't possibly. We had an absolute hoot backstage. And, we all said we wished it was a longer run than 6 weeks because we all got on so well and we were just mucking around so much.
See, my theory is the more serious the show, the easier the mucking around.
Massively.
Because
you have to lighten the mood.
Yeah, well, yes. And also it's so easy to be naughty about the serious thing. If it's already funny, it's quite hard to make it.
Yeah, because then you'd like, you
funnier,
like,
but yeah. When it's not, it's... Anyway.
Yes.
Yes. Did you always keep a straight face on stage?
Yeah, actually. Well, we had to because if you saw the show, the whole show was filmed and projected onto these 5-meter-high screens. So we were on massive close-up. So we couldn't get away with anything. Anything. So we had to be really good.
Not even a little twitchy smile.
No. No. Because you knew that...
Don't look at me because
even a twinkle would have read. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, so no. Now you're doing another very serious thing now.
I know. Yes. I know, I need to do a comedy, people. Someone cast me in a comedy. Actually, well, we'll speak of that in a minute. I am doing comedy.
Because you're back at the Coliseum. You're sharing the role of Aldonza in The Man of La Mancha. So how did that one come about?
That was really, really lovely. The producer, Michael Linnett, called me up on a weekend and said, look, we need someone to share the role with Danielle Denise. We want you. So I sort of said, oh gosh, I don't really know the show, listen to it. And it was around the time my album was coming out, so I wasn't sure if I could make it work, but we managed to make it all work. And I'm so glad because it's the most beautiful show with the most beautiful music. And it's an amazing part.
It's a phenomenal part for a moment. Yeah.
Goodness me. Yeah, and what I love about it is every scene is very high stakes. You can just sort of come on and bare your soul, and it's really lovely.
Mm. But Danielle Denise is an opera singer.
She is.
And you're more a soul singer, you would say, would you?
Yeah, I suppose I would say, yeah. Soul, country, pop.
So your version of it must be quite different from hers.
It's very different, actually. We reimagined it, and we've made it a belty role. We've changed the keys.
Oh, so really? What, when you're on, it's different keys than when she's on?
Yeah.
Really?
So we've kind of made it belty as opposed to soprano-y.
Yeah.
Because that's how I sing, you know?
I know. When I saw it with her, I was trying to imagine how your voice would be, because she's an opera singer.
Mm.
And it's just a different thing.
So when Michael Linnett offered me the role, he's like, I want you to sing it like you. I want you to use your voice. Because I was like, look, I don't sing soprano. It's not my style. And he's like, no, we want to fit it to you. We want it to be different from her. So I was like, okay. And so David White, the lovely MD, David White, and I sat around his piano at his house and we just worked out the best keys to make it still exciting, but that I would belt the end of things. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very exciting.
Yeah, we have to make sure the orchestra get the white.
Oh, it's
score
hilarious.
On the right night.
There's big
otherwise...
posters up every show saying which Aldonza's on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You see in the pit, it says Danielle or Cassidy. You know, one page said, and it could all go horribly wrong.
Like, yeah. That's hilarious. Now, this is only a limited season at the Coliseum.
Four more weeks, I think, now.
But then you're off to do a musical called Anne Juliet.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
So which is a comedy!
Ampersand.
I'm funny
is
in it.
It?
Yes! I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's the music of Max Martin. Is that right? And it's biggest pop anthems. What pop anthems are...
So basically, I'd not, Max, if you're listening, I'd not heard of Max Martin, but he's the third biggest songwriter of all time, only below McCartney and Lennon. And he's written every big pop hit in the last 20 years. He's written everything for Britney Spears, Katy Perry, the Backstreet Boys. Every song that they've sung that's a big hit, he wrote, basically. And they've put together this amazing idea, which is a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. What would happen if Juliet woke up, found Romeo dead, but decided not to kill herself? So it sounds like it would
work.
Doesn't
sound that funny, Cassidy.
I can't even tell you, because we've done about 6 weeks of workshopping of it. The cast, I've never had this. I've loved a lot of cast, but there was one moment during the workshop where this kid called Kieran body popped across the stage before this wedding scene. And I went, oh, I think I've just fallen in love with an entire company, like fell in love. There's so much, you just feel everyone supporting everyone in their moment, in their scenes. And it's so funny. And what is genius, David West Reed is the writer. He somehow, how he's done this, I don't know, made a really clever story, used pop songs with barely changing a pronoun that pushed the story along.
Right, so it's,
so it's not,
not...
It's not like a...
They're not shoehorned in and then it's the song and then the story goes on.
It's mental. It's... I don't know how he's done it and it's so funny.
So what are some... Are there songs that we'll know then in
this? All of them. Teenage Dream by Katy Perry, Hit Me Baby One More Time, Oops, I Did It Again, Everybody, yeah, Rock Your Body, all the Backstreet Boys stuff, Raw, help me out here, Raw by Katy Perry... Oh, God, now you're asking me to listen to songs. But every song is a hit. Yeah, it's brilliant.
And
it's brilliant.
So you're workshopping that, or you will be when you finish.
We've workshopped it already.
Right.
And then we start rehearsals for that at the end of July. And I can't wait because I'm playing William Shakespeare's wife. And it's with Oliver Thomsett. And Oliver Thomsett and I were in the original London cast of Wicked together. And we haven't worked together since then. And now it's like two older
grown-ups.
And we're just throwing all this comedy stuff at each other. And and he's 6'4", and I'm 5 foot nothing. And so we've added all these extra height gags as well. I can't tell you, my heart sings when I think about doing this show.
Oh, how lovely.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Most exciting of all, well, I don't know, is that you've got a new album.
I do.
That is being released on the 14th of June. 14th of June.
And
everybody.
It's my debut solo album. So.
Debut solo album. Well, you tell us about it.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's sort of been in the pipeline for a few years. Well, I've wanted to do my own album for a very long time, but the opportunity never quite arose. And then I bumped into my producer, Rupert Christie, at a wedding a few years ago. And I'd known him from eons ago. He'd sort of moved on from being a piano player to being a full producer. And we got chatting and it turned out we had a very similar idea about creating an album. And so we got together and wrote this album, but a lot of it together. And
yeah, so you wrote a lot of the songs
eight
on
of
it,
the tracks,
yeah.
I'm so proud of it. And I'm so lucky that I bumped into Rupert because he's done the most extraordinary production on the album. He really has. And I got signed to BMG. A lovely guy called Ian Ramage signed me. And it's coming out on the 14th of June. I've got a single out called Better. And it's quite a thrill. It's quite a thrill having my own.
Can we pre-order this album?
Pre-order. There are pre-orders online.
Okay.
I don't have the link, but somewhere.
But yeah, folks, you can...
CassidyJansen.com.
Google it, your website or something.
Has pre-orders somewhere.
Jansen, yes, and then pre-order it.
Yes, please pre-order it.
Yeah. Well, it's been lovely having you in the studio. Good luck with Anne Juliet.
Thank you.
When does that open, do you know?
We open in Manchester, I think September time, and then we open in the West End of November.
Ah, right. So that's a Christmas treat.
Christmas treat. And it really, honestly, it's an absolute hoot.
Oh.
It's really funny.
Well, I can't wait to see it. All right. Thank you, Cassidy.
You're
thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, Alice.
That was the Musicals and Theatre Podcast with me, Alice Arnold. And if you enjoyed it... Well, download the rest of them. There are loads on the website that you might want to listen to. And also, you can rate it. You give it marks out of 10 or something. Give it a big tick.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!